Who knows what's happening on Thursday? Thanksgiving holiday is coming up. Once again, I just feel like this year has just flown by. I don't know if anybody else feels that way. How many like the Thanksgiving holiday? It's one of your favorites. It is for me. It doesn't have all the, some of the hassle and stress, the Christmas. Or sometimes there's more pressure at Christmas. And so I like the Thanksgiving holiday, and it's a wonderful time being around the table with family and friends. But how many know that Thanksgiving is more than just going around the table and everybody share one thing they're thankful for? And it's more than just turkey and stuffing, as much as you love that, or whatever your favorite meal item is. And it's more than watching football. Yes. It's bigger than football and then falling asleep on the sofa. So I want to talk about the real Thanksgiving today. And this real Thanksgiving is going to take you through this week, the remainder of this year, and into next year. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, and read a few passages here. Starting in verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Do not worry about your life." "What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Now, this word worry or worrying is mentioned 6 times in these verses. And I always look at that about the words being used. That something's trying to be said to us. And so this word worry, it means to be anxious, anxiety, full of care, fretful, troubled. And this is the kind of worry that keeps you up at night. Have you ever been up at night? You go to bed, you might even be tired, but you're just laying there and you finally, maybe after a busy day, you just get quiet and maybe you start thinking about things. And that's when worry can really hit you. And how many times maybe you had to even get up. You're just laying there. It's just so much care. The weight of whatever that situation might be, it just affects you. This worry can be so strong and can cause headaches. It can cause stomach problems. It can cause you to feel tired when you should be rested. It can affect you physically. And worry can just suck the joy out of your life. As Christians, we should be full of joy. I mean, we know that when this life is over, heaven is our home. And God has promised us the abundant life, which is a life overflowing with good things. His blessings are literally chasing us down. And Deuteronomy says we're blessed in the city, in the field, in the country. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. I mean, just His blessings are upon us. But worry can even just, suck the blessing, suck the goodness, the joy out of our lives, and where, you know, it just impacts us. Now, there's a lot of things to worry about. Can I give you just a list of a few things? Maybe you need to add some to your list. Maybe you're not worrying about enough things. You know, we just had the election season. I mean, the candidates have told us all the things we should really be worried about this country. Worried about terrorism. Worried about the economy. Worried about racial division. That has really flared its ugly head this year. It's been beneath the surface, but it's been now manifested in so many ways. How many know finances? Our own personal finances. Our health. You may be right now going through an attack, something that you're dealing with in your body. And how many know pain is constant? You feel it. Relationships. The enemy does all he can to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the primary things he wants to destroy is our relationships. Because relationships with God and with others is a constant, it's an amazing source of joy, because this world is all about people. That's why we're here. If it wasn't for people, we wouldn't need to be here. And so the enemy is constantly trying to cause strife and division with people. So you can be worried about relationships, our kids, or maybe our parents. I mean, my mom is going through a lot right now. And, you know, I'm in my four brothers and sisters are all up there in the Twin Cities up in Minnesota. And we've got kind of a text going of all the things that are happening with her and taking care of her. And there's just a flurry of activity about all kinds of things, about what's going on with her. And I just got to really watch myself, because I could be worried about her. Did I miss anything? Maybe if you want to just go ahead and text me right now things I missed, and I can mention those. But the list goes on. There's a lot of things that we can be worried about. And these worries are constant. They are there. Either they're staring us in the face, or we're thinking about them. And, you know, well, what's the danger of a little worry? Well, the danger of a little worry is little worry turns to big worry. And big worry turns to fear. And when it turns to fear, you're in the enemy's camp. And fear will paralyze you. Fear will stop you. And here's what it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. You know the parable of the sower? Mark 4, verse 19. And I want to read this from the Amplified Version. Do we have that scripture? Yeah, there we go. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passion and desire for other things creep in. It's not just all at one time. It kind of creeps in. And again, little things, they build. And it does have an impact. Look at what it does. It creeps in and chokes and suffocates the word so that it becomes fruitless. And if the word of God is choked, then life itself is choked, because the word is life. Joy is choked. And more importantly, peace is choked, your peace. And so you're not able to move forward, you're paralyzed. And a good way of putting it, maybe you feel stuck. Anybody here? You don't raise your hand, but anybody here feel stuck? Like there's no progress, like you're just spinning your wheels. It seems like after a lot of effort, you've gone no further. You're still in the same place. Maybe even in, you know, right now as we're getting near the year end, maybe you're in a worse place. This is kind of depressing here. Maybe you're in a worse place than you were at the beginning of the year. That's hard, going into the end of the year knowing you're in a worse place. So when you're sitting at the table on Thursday, with all your family and friends, and you're supposed to be happy and full of joy, but things aren't going well. I mean, it's tough to really enjoy it. It's tough to be present. It's tough to be there with the people that you love, because you're really, in your heart, it's like you're somewhere else. So I want to talk for the remainder of my time here. I'm going to get a little more positive. How about that? I want to get into the worry cure. There's a cure for worry. Now, who knows some of the best verses on this? Anybody? Philippians 4. Give that lady a prize. Philippians 4 is so power-packed. Turn there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Really good verses here. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. What? Be anxious for nothing. No, nothing. You can do a big Greek search and study on this word, nothing. And it means no thing. Wow. Man, that is deep. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everything means all things. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This is the worry cure. Now, and so it's saying, don't be troubled. Don't be fretful. Don't be anxious. Don't be full of care. It's saying to be worry free. So the first thing to this worry cure is prayer. Now, we've all heard about prayer. We know prayer is a real religious thing, and we're supposed to pray. It's one of those duties that we have as believers. But prayer is really about being intimate with God. Are you intimate with anybody? You got a close relationship with somebody? That's what intimacy is, closeness. And when you're close to somebody, you talk to them. You share what's going on. You share your feelings. You share your hurts. And so what it's talking about here is go to God in prayer, talk to Him, share what's happening, share how you're feeling, share what you're dealing with. I mean, and it's the image of a child that's hurt in some way, even with the smallest need, goes to their parent. And there's a parent there that loves them and is concerned about every area, wanting to help. And that's the same way with our Heavenly Father. And I love the fact that it says in Hebrews, it says, come boldly to the throne. And that throne room where God is in heaven, the Bible way it describes it is the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of condemnation. It's not the throne of, I'm going to get you because you've messed up again. I'm going to, the throne of punishment. No, it says it's the throne of grace. It's the throne for those that are undeserving. It's the throne for those who have made mistakes. It's the throne for those who have messed up. It's the throne for those who have gone the wrong way, made bad decisions. The throne of grace, the throne of favor, of getting things that you don't deserve in yourself. And He wants to dispense His goodness. Just like a loving father or a mother with their hurting child, He's that same way with us. Nothing is too great for God's power. Nothing too small for His fatherly care. Now, this word prayer here not only talks about a relationship, it also talks about a place of prayer. And I don't know about you, if you have a prayer closet, I have got places I like to pray. I like to pray out in my driveway. I can get some exercise and kind of walk up and down and pray in the Spirit and pray. I like to pray in my study at home. I like to pray right here in this auditorium. Come in here, you know, during the day or sometime and just kind of walk around and be in here in prayer. And so it's a place, and I hope you have a prayer closet. Now, you can pray anywhere. You can pray while you're driving, but there's a place where you can go and you can get quiet and no one's around and you can pray and you can talk to God. So it's a place also. Now, let's move on to this next part, prayer and supplication. What is supplication? It's asking God for a specific request to supply something for you or for someone else. So it's making a requisition. You're specifically asking God about something you're dealing with, or maybe you're asking Him for a supply for someone else. And there's no better person to go to when you need supply than God, because He's the one in Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He's a God of supply. He's got abundance. He's got plenty. He's got an abundance for all 7 billion people on the earth and beyond. His supply has no limit. Well, you shouldn't just always go to God and ask Him for stuff. He wants you to. He doesn't have a problem with it. You're not going to, bankrupt heaven by your needs. He wants you to come to Him and ask Him. And so we need to do it. And if you've got lack, and we all do, go to Him and ask Him for help. And do it with boldness. Do it with confidence. Do it with passion. Do it like someone that's crying out for help, that knows you can't do it in yourself, and if He doesn't help you, there is no help. Supplication, it's intense. It's passionate. It's not just memorized words and memorized prayers. It's like someone that really needs help. Now, there's something I do, and it doesn't say this here, but I can tell you this based on other parts of the Scripture about prayer. Is when I pray, I like to have the Word there. I like to, and we say it here, launch our prayers from the platform of God's Word. So when I have a need, I like to have 3, 4, 5 Scriptures. Full house. I like to have 5 of things that I'm dealing with. Because when I go into that prayer closet and I've got His Word, and I know what 1 John 5 says, that if I ask Him according to His will or according to His Word, I can have confidence because I'll know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, I know He's going to respond to my request. Maybe you need a Scripture here. I got a good one for you. How about Isaiah 54, verse 17? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Got Psalm 91 here. It's pretty good. I got Matthew 6. I do have Philippians 4. And then I got 2 Timothy 1. And these are mine because I need them right now. Because I've been a little worried about some things. And sometimes I can kind of rely on fumes from past victories or past faith adventures and kind of get a little careless. And before I know it, the things that I'm preaching about, I'm doing the opposite of what I've been preaching. And I found myself kind of laying awake at night a few nights. Had to get up and sometimes for an hour or more, get myself straight and go back to bed. So I'm not talking about something that I don't know what I'm talking about here, or theory. I'm talking about reality. Because there is an enemy that wants to take you out. And if he can't get to you, he wants to take out your loved ones. And if he can't take out your loved ones, he wants to get to your dog. Now that's fighting territory there. Second Timothy 1 verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Amplified says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Being timid. So I want to encourage you. You know, we got our iPads and phones. You can do it on there. You can print you out a list. But I mean, this is the old school way. I was raised in this. This is what I did. I used to go as a waiter. I used to have them in my back pocket. And I'm telling you, things come. We don't know when it's going to hit. I just pull them out. Devil, this is what the Word says. Or maybe if I am laying awake, I could just go find my cards, start going through them. You can write a handy-dandy confession on the back. And you start, and you know, initially, you may have to spend some time at it, but as you get going in this and these thoughts start coming, the same thoughts, I mean, you can go through your cards one time and have it dealt with. So, supplication. Making your request known to God. And then, let's get into thanksgiving. Prayer. This is the word here. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. This is where you start thanking Him in advance for the answer to your prayer. Thanksgiving is the voice of faith. Thanksgiving is the voice of confidence in God. We're grateful today and thankful that He is a God that hears our prayer. He is a God that's interested. He is a God that cares. He is a God that responds. In fact, He's just sitting there. You know, and we like to talk about that, how He's sitting on the throne. And He's not just sitting, you know, back like this. He's sitting like this, ready to respond. He's listening. He hears. He wants to act. And so we're just thanking Him already for the battle that's been won. Thankful that He does over and above. That He does super abundantly more than we dare ask or think or hope or dream or pray. He does over and above. He's an over and above God. And so we can have that kind of expectation. And I don't care what trial you're going through here today. If you go to Him, you talk to Him, and you begin to thank Him, It may still look the same, but on the inside, victory is there, and you can walk around with joy and excitement, and you can have expectancy knowing something good is going to happen in this situation. I may not know when, but it's on the way. Your miracle's on the way. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't back down. You're just about there. And I love one of the messages we had years ago from Chip Brim talking about being on the goal line. How many times are we on the goal line? And it's tough down there. It may take several plays to break through. It's tough. There's a lot of action going on there. But our God is bigger. He is greater. The greater one is in us. He's going to put us over. His grace is going to enable us. We're right there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. So Thanksgiving is the victory dance before the manifestation. What's your victory dance? I've got a good one. I may not show it to you. Maybe I will. I don't know. I got a good one though. It's my signature dance. You can see Eddie's on Facebook. Someone had sent me that picture of Eddie by text. You're famous now, Eddie. Of his dance at the wedding yesterday, and I texted back and I said, whenever I'm sad or I'm blue, I'm going to watch this. Because Eddie dances with a note of victory. That's a man without a care there. I mean, shameless. Eddie Shameless Kennedy. I want that. Let's go. Let me just say this before I show you this next part. Real Thanksgiving. Real Thanksgiving is a peace that comes when you're at peace with God, yourself, and with others. Real Thanksgiving is rest from the battle. Rest from the war. Knowing that victory and the battle has already been won. Let's look at this Philippians 4 again in the Amplified. Philippians 4 in the Amplified Version says this: do not fret or have any anxiety. Here you go, Susie. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Next verse. So here's the key right here, okay? What's going to happen from the worry cure? And this is where you want to get right here. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort, that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. What happens after prayer, if you do it right now, after prayer supplication and thanksgiving, a peace will rise up on the inside of you. And see, this peace, it surpasses all understanding. It means you can't manufacture it in your thinking. And I hate to tell you this, you can't manufacture it with alcohol. We try. We can't manufacture it with drugs, legal or illegal. And we try all these different things to try to get peace. And you may have some temporary relief, but the lasting peace can only come from God. And it says that that peace, and it's a military word, it's going to garrison, mount guard around you. And that peace is like a fortress. And it won't let the lies of the enemy come in and penetrate your heart and your mind. It will protect you. Remember Jesus in the boat? This is the image. Jesus is in the boat. And the hurricane-type winds are hitting that boat. What is he doing? He's in perfect peace. He's asleep in the back of the boat. This is not just a peace when everything's going well. Because even if it's going well for you, it's not going well for someone else. You should try being a pastor. I mean, you get to the place, I mean, you love your people so much that like when they go through things, it's like you're going through it. So even if I have it all together, and I never do, there's always things trying to get at my peace. And if I'm not in a place of peace, I'm not hearing from God, I'm not making good decisions, I'm not in faith. I'm afraid of the outcome. And fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the lies of the enemy. I believe more in what he's saying than I do in what God is saying. I want that peace that Garrison's about. All right, let's have you four guys right here. Come on up here. You guys are going to be my Secret Service. So, that's right, Gray. I can always count on Gray to get into character here. All right, you guys are my Secret Service. Kind of surround me a little bit. Let's practice a little bit. All right, the eagle is moving, so we're moving. What's happening?
Move.
We'll back this way. All right, Secret Service, hold for a second. Now, let's just say we have the devil over here. Come on over here. We got an assassin.
Oh, snap.
Now, let's not hurt anybody here, okay, guys? But this assassin is going to try to get in this inner circle here. And, wait, just hold a second.
I'm going to pick him up.
See, that just shows you how the devil is. He's just eager to get in there. Now, let's not hurt anybody, okay? But I want you to get in this inner circle. You can go ahead and try it. Come on, get in here. Come on. Come on. Is that all you got? Let's give the Secret Service and this assassin a hand here. When that peace is operating, you've got to do a Secret Service detail surrounding you. Yeah. And the enemy's going to try to get in with his thoughts, his fiery darts, but the Secret Service ain't going to let it happen. It's going to stop that bullet before it gets near you, and you can walk in peace. And when you can walk in peace, you can walk in joy. And you can start doing your victory dance. Yeah, hallelujah. Not as good as Eddie, but it's okay. It's mine. Woo! It mounts guard. It garrisons about you. Protects your heart and your mind. And it's victory. It's victory before it happens, before it's manifested. That's the peace that God has for us. And my prayer here is this Thanksgiving on Thursday when we're with everybody, or we're going to have this peace. So we've got a couple days here. Get some things worked out. But to have that peace and be able to enjoy our family. And everything's never going to go perfect. There's always going to be something going on, something. But don't let that situation, we're always going to be dealing with things, steal your joy. Steal your peace.